Shotgun.
You can't call shotgun on a podcast.
You're just mad that I called it first.
Welcome to Polycast,
a civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Rakuts.
Makalua.
Imran Siddiqui.
Hey, Madeline.
Cardamandua.
The Mean Team.
QNL.
Mad Jim.
Just pick a random talk and start talking.
All of the constructive criticism, positive feedback, everything. It has been a blast for 200 episodes. We're looking forward
200
to
episodes. I know season 8. It's still sinking in. It was Friday, October 20th, 2006, when the first episode of Polycast was published and entitled, well, aptly.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
First piece of feedback the show ever received was from a Polton Civilization site user, Sirotnikov. To start, he said, quote, "It's amusing, smiley face," unquote. Entertaining the Civilization series indeed, but, nothing about being informative yet, but that's okay. It's only the first line. Let's see what else he said. Quote, "I must say that Makalua has the best voice, heart icon," unquote. Well, that's still true. Quote, "You must also sometime remind us who is talking, since several minutes into the show, I lost track between Imran and Dan Q, so I just assumed that Imran is the funnier guy, sticky out tongue face," unquote. Never true. This, episode 201 of Polycast, is a fitting compliment to episode 200. Now, you may be wondering why, given that it is not live-streamed, no input from a live audience is given, no Phyraxians are present, no prizes are being given away, not even a topics list is being run through that is standard on episodes otherwise. Episode 200 was a celebration of this show in targeting as wide a berth of Civilization fans, podcast consumers or not. This, episode 201, is a celebration of the show as a podcast and those who are fans not only of Civilization, but also this show itself. We know you're out there. It is a compilation like no other in Polycast's history to date. You will get to hear a lot of material that has never before been published that would not fit into a recurring, not just another lame clip show edition of full archive segments. No, this is an episode for die-hard, hardcore Polycasters, and not for Transformer and Switchgear component fans. And not that kind of Transformer either, you geek, you nerd, you gamer, strategy gamer. I am Daniel Dan Q Quick, co-creator, owner, producer, and lead co-host of Polycast, a podcast focused on Civilization strategy. Welcome to the after party of the show's 200 episode celebration. Let's keep on spinning. Is it introduction time?
No.
We'll just be strangers instead.
Ooh, I want to be guy number three. So, guy number three, what do you think?
Guy number three talks to himself in the third person.
Who do you hate being close to, Dan? Who?
I thought we went over this already.
Well, aside from yourself. Stop.
Oh, Isabella, you know, you're pretty good looking, but you won't let us get close to you.
Adopt my religion, you heathen.
Tokugawa is crappy as well.
Montezuma's full of hot air.
Yeah, I'll tell you. And he looks all smug in his little diplomacy screen. Damn him. Damn him.
That one, Frederick, looks all very proper.
What's wrong with being proper?
His nice tailored whatever it is. Who do you think you are?
Here's why I don't know history, okay? In 11th grade, my history teacher sat there and told us, partly joking, partly not, that women shouldn't bother learning history. They should stay at home and, you know, learn how to cook.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, I mean, he was mostly joking.
Still.
I'm the oldest of four kids. My father made the school lunches for everybody in the school district. He was the director of food service. So none of us bought the school lunch. Mom made our lunch. And this history teacher found out that Mom wrote a note on her napkin every day. So for current events, he would have me come up and read my note in my napkin every day. He gave me an A in the class even though I knew nothing because he thought I was cute and he liked the notes in my napkin. So I didn't have to learn anything in the class, and the class was boring as hell. So it's not my fault. See?
At first, I don't know if someone's been quite so eager to be on here. It's kind of weird.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do nothing on my Saturdays. I need your company.
I played a team game once. It was me solo against 7 of them grouped together. It was like Warlords level. This was another Deviant Mind Games. It was hysterical. We were all on Warlords, and there were 7 of them versus us. And I won. It was hysterical. I thought I was going to lose, even though it was a Warlords, because they were getting the biggest. But it wasn't always war, but when one declared war, I mean, all 7 of them did, right? And every time one discovered a tech, they all discovered it. And every world wonder they built, they all benefited from. So I had to build them all, because I didn't want them all getting the Great Wall or anything. It was weird because every time they declared war, when I did the refuse to talk checks, some would refuse and some wouldn't, which seemed kind of buggy to me. Monty would be refusing to talk, but Mansa would talk to me, so I would declare peace with Mansa, and of course Monty would be locked into it because they were a team.
Recorded for episode 48, season 2. July 2008. A slew of Civilization Revolution reviews. Of all of these reviews, the only person that comes across as a bit of a downer is over at Platform Nation.
Stephen Artlet.
His written review actually comes with a video review, which none of the others do, which was actually nice. Essentially, his position is that if you are a hardcore fan of the Civilization franchise, this will most likely be the one to skip. There are just too many things taken out of the game in order to give it mass appeal, quote-unquote. I could agree with the first part. If you are a hardcore fan, and as we've said before, you're not able to adjust your expectations, whether that's because you don't want to or that's not the type of game that you want to play, that's fine. But too many things taken out of the game in order to give it mass appeal, I don't agree with that. Again, we're talking about a different audience. It will have a mass appeal to a different audience, not just the console base and or those who would prefer Civilization, quote-unquote, light.
So it's not fattening. That's a real bonus in my view.
But we already knew that Civilization Revolution was going to be more of a light version and not aimed at the hardcore audience, but aimed at the console player. You know, so that's not really that much of a surprise. The question is, what do the normal console player people think of it who haven't played Civ?
Have they identified any normal console players?
You know what I mean. Average, is that better? Because average can include weird and all sorts of things.
Is there a normal PC player either?
Valid point.
That
Kotaku?
They loved how it works, its charm, its streamlining, its consoles and menus, but found that it was too small with regards to the maps, too fast, and a little rough around the edges with some of the interface. But they did say successfully porting the Civilization experience from the PC to the consoles was always going to be an exercise in compromise. I think that's fair to say, to make it any kind of manageable. And then, of course, the question becomes, was Firaxis successful at that? Arguing that the core of the Civilization experience, the discovery, the advancement, the combat, the diplomacy, are in place, that it is there, and, quote, even a streamlined version of the game still had you up at 3 in the morning, telling yourself you'll have just one more turn, and that's what it does, unquote. So this person is quite satisfied with that.
Well, I ran through a few of them that you sent. None of them mentioned this is actually the second Civilization game to come out for console because Civilization 2 came out PlayStation 1.
Yeah, and I have seen some reviews actually that have said that it's the first Civ on the console.
Not accurate.
Civ Rev being the first specifically for consoles. The third review worth playing, Civilization Revolution, is Civilization. It's easy to learn, difficult to master, and incredibly fun, quote-unquote. You could be describing Civ 4 for that matter.
That's any Civ in a nutshell.
Yeah, and he says, if you're a fan of strategy games, you owe it to yourself to give Civilization Revolution a try, quote-unquote, which I thought was interesting, because if you're a fan of strategy games, you could be a fan of strategy games on the console, on the PC. View number 4, Pocket Lint, where he says, fans of console-based strategy titles deserve to give this one a go. I mentioned specifically console there. Fifth one over at SMH gives it a 4.5 out of 5. That's Jason Hill. Chris Pickering did the one before that. Has a welcome new focus on accessibility suited to the console audience. Civilization has lost little of its strategic depth. It was not dumbed down. So again, talking specifically about being targeted to the console audience, and then again getting into the whole discussion, was it streamlined, does streamlined equal dumbed down, or more specifically, does streamlined equal simplified? And that can depend on your definition of simplified, and then whether or not you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. Joe Robinson gave it an 8.2 over at Strategy Informer, said it was a fast-paced strategy title, and we've talked about that before, how a game can only take from beginning to end 2 or 3 hours as compared to 10, 12, 14-plus hours, assuming you don't die. Calls it fun and addictive and easy to play. Newcomers will find it easy to get into, while old hands might need a little adapting to get used to the lack of micromanagement. Either way, Meyer's done it again. Actually, this is one of my favorite views for one simple line at the end where he writes, top game moment, launching a nuke against an enemy city and then accidentally killing your own army in the explosion. Oops.
The classic Civ blunder.
Well, fortunately in Civ Rev, since you can only have one nuke, you can only make that mistake once, so woohoo.
You can only have one nuke?
Yep, and that's if you build the Manhattan Project Wonder, you only get one. And for the first time with this nuke, and you launch it against the city, it actually does destroy the entire city.
Well, that's a handy way to stop a cultural victory.
Over at IT Wire, Mike Bantic gives it 7.5 out of 10 great wonders. Which makes me wonder, are you rating other games based on great wonders? And if so, why did you only give this 7.5? He said, Fracas managed to keep just enough management to keep the flavor without the bog down of the detail that works so much better on a PC. I think that's a very good point, that there's the detail that works better on the PC. When it comes to micromanagement, yeah, it depends on your personal preference, but it also depends, I think, on how it's executed, how much automation there is available for those who don't want that and are willing to allow the AI, for example, to take control over that. Then Luke Mitchell on PAL, whatever it is, 8 out of 10. Graphics and sound, 7. Gameplay and lifespan, 8.5. Continues the Civilization tradition of being one of the most addictive games we've experienced. He says that there are flaws, but still an excellent game. Perhaps one of the more popular reviews, just because of the gaming site that it's on, itself being quite popular, IGN, Xbox 360 specifically, gave it an Editor's Choice Award, an 8.8 out of 10. For example, they talk about presentation, graphics, sound, and gameplay, but the individual category I like on here is Lasting Appeal, which they give a 9 out of 10. Ground-up rebuild of the basic Civ idea. A standout strategy console title that successfully straddles the line between hardcore and casual. It is a shallower strategy experience than its PC counterparts, and that's not a negative at all. Despite its limits, has all the polish and character you'd expect. Last two, Dylan Fawcett over at USA Today says it may be the first strategy game to break the losing streak of PC to console conversions. And as we mentioned before, I'm not exactly certain there was much conversion as there was simple porting with Civilization II to the PlayStation, but they must be talking
about other series going to the console, because a lot of times it just doesn't work.
Yeah. It won't be a favorite of advanced players, but it's definitely worth buying for the gamer new to the Civ universe. And finally, over at GameZone, Stephen Hoppers gave it a 7.5 out of 10. Solid entry into the series. Still worth a look from hardcore series fans looking for a portable version of their fix. Yes, this is a review of the DS version, which have been few and far between. Yak, Civilization Revolution. Season 2, July, 2008.
So, did you enjoy the Civilization Revolution time you had with it?
Yes, I did. I hadn't really been exposed that much to the console platform directly, and within about 15, 20 minutes, I was feeling comfortable with the controller, never having picked up an Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah.
Being someone who liked the micromanagement ability, not the necessity, but thanks in Civilization 4 that if you didn't want to have the micromanagement, it was managed, and it was managed reasonably well for you.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the past where you really had to micromanage it, because if you left it to the computer to do it for you, you were in trouble.
Right.
Whereas the micromanagement was good, and you can still do it yourself, and it's there. And so I thought, oh, not even having the option, not even knowing that it's going on in the background.
Right.
Like, for example, generally in the PC community, we like, with Civilization 4, the introduction of civics, for example, as opposed to government types.
Yeah.
And when I found out that CivRev had government types, people were like, oh, my gosh, how could you dare go backward? What a travesty. I won't like it. I won't like it.
Yeah.
Even I was a little apprehensive for that. Now we're kind of getting to the point people stop talking about what was in Civ 1 through Civ 4 that got into or didn't get into Civ Rev, and now it's, gee, I wonder what's in Civ Rev that might translate well into the PC.
Well, that's good to hear.
I had a giant stack of chariots that I conquered almost my entire continent with. And I was coming down to the very last few cities of the last Civ, and he just got rifling. Yes, I was using chariots at that point in the game. And I had maybe about 70 chariots at this point, and he had a few rifles in the city, and I threw all 70 chariots at the city, and the very last chariot won the city.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that I would win it much easier than that.
You normally would. Were they, like, protective or something?
I can't remember what his defensive bonuses were, but it was the most crappiest crap. And that was one of the things about this game, is that, yeah, it's random, it's got odds, but it seems that those odds don't really say what they say. Can you imagine one guy with a rifle standing behind a wall as an army of, say, you know, 700,000 people on chariots charges at him? Well, I guess I'll start with the guy in the front. Not even a guy with a machine gun could hold off that army.
Yeah, that's true.
September 21st being Sid Meier's Civilization 5 Day in Maryland. And as Rusty Edge said, if I were a state employee, I'd ask for time off to purchase and play. I think that is an excellent idea. Everybody who's a Civ fan in Maryland, if you do not do this, I will wag my finger at thee. Because you should.
Oh, no, I might be the only person on this panel today that actually lives in Maryland. Actually, I didn't take off that day, but I did take off the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, so I just put those vacation days in.
Episode 167, Season 7, February 2013.
At the gates, it itself, that project, Conifer Games, XML mod support, that's when they got to 50,000, that's $10,000 above the 40 they were looking for. At $60,000, you got the map editor. At $70,000, DLL mod support, given the source code for the interface, AI and map generation, allowing for full customization of these systems. Doesn't say a timeline on when that would be available after the game is released, but anyway, that might not be a reference to Civ 5 at all. No, no, I wouldn't do that. Stretch goal, $85,000 with two new playable factions. Based on popular demand, they added a $30 or more backing, which gives you a digital version of their 100-plus page manual and strategy guide, which would be nice to see. I'm kind of thinking, oh, you mean like manuals we used to get, like in Civilization 2 or even Civ 1, you know, when they were worth the paper they were printed on.
Or that giant block that just sat there. I could use this to prop up my table.
That's called replayability.
Repurposing.
You read the manual and then you go to the game, and like even on day one, I don't know what it is. Like people, and it's not just the gaming industry; it's everywhere. The manual gets written before they ship, and that's fine because they have to. But the manual does not get written before they stop working on it, and so things change. And some of the more obvious ones are like they use two different icons, and then somehow the design switches because they decided that they want those two different icons to represent the other thing. They change the icons in the design, but don't change the manual.
Well, Monthar says in the chat, I like the paper manuals. That way I can look up stuff while playing.
Yeah.
Well, you could look up stuff while playing in the digital version, too. Just swap. And then, of course, you could also take the digital version and just print it off yourself.
Alt-tab.
But yay for manuals, for still making manuals, because some games don't even bother anymore.
Let's talk about strategy guides on another episode. Moving.
Not even worth it for toilet paper.
You've got to wonder what some of those units are thinking, though. I've been sitting here for 1,000 years. The borders have already expanded past my outpost. Why can't I go home?
Now, here's a thought on that, actually. They could add something in that's like a sort of a military civics tree, where you've got local levies. So you immediately get a bunch of cheap units, but then if you need to delete them, you've got too many, you just hit disband, and they go back to their homes. And then you can hit recall and summon them again. But if you had, say, standing retinue, you could send them home, but you'd have to pay their wages first, but they're a better quality type of unit or something.
You're making me think of Warcraft 3 in the sense that if you have people working, you can do, like, call-to-arms thing, right? You could send them back after.
Yeah. Warcraft 3, you call-to-arms, and all of your peasants become militia. Yeah, that's a sort of idea.
It's not just Warcraft, but I think Rise of Nations had that.
I think so.
You could have it operate, it's a bit like a draft, but when you send them back, you get the population points back.
Right.
So you use up population points to raise the levy, go off to war, and then the survivors go back and add population points back based on how many survived.
Yeah, and so you've got your levy as your cannon fodder troops, and then you've got your retinue who are better equipped, but you have to pay their wages.
Then you've got your regular trained troops who are permanent, your standing army.
So you've got your standing army that you always have, and then you've got gold recruit and population recruit. And anyway, just an idea that randomly came to me.
Maybe resource-based recruits.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
This is a vault segment with topics cut from earlier episodes, but have found relevance again later.
For all you Polycast completists, these topics cover material that is either no longer applicable, or at least no longer most recent in terms of relevancy. Episode 106, Season 4, September 2010.
Science-wise, there's a couple things that can just go ridiculous. One of the civs has bonus to its great scientists, and that just causes obscene tech rates, potentially. I've heard of people getting, like, in the industrial era and the BCs, which kind of sounds like certain abuses with great scientists in Civ 4 to me, but what do I know? You can probably win with science with that kind of stuff.
Is it an abuse if you can do it? I mean, I don't see it as an abuse.
Oh, I mean, technically nothing is. I'm using abuse kind of wrongly, because I'm picturing, like, an excellent usage of the thing that makes the game seem really unbalanced. And one of the unfortunate things with Civ 5 is just how bad the AI is at war. It's to the point where if you try to do something else, it's pretty challenging, but if you just go for war, it's so easy that it's almost not a challenge at all. Trade for horsemen or swords. And I could sweep an entire continent on standard with just 4 horses or 4 swordsmen. I don't even have to think about archery or siege. I just walk up to the cities and pound it a couple times and take it on Emperor. And it wasn't even hard. I could probably get away with that on Immortal.
Now you're talking about Emperor level? You're literally building 4 or 5 swordsmen.
On Emperor level, I build 4 swordsmen or 4 horses, take the honor, Great General, and just run roughshod over absolutely everything on the continent without effort.
I have not been that successful.
Now, the reason I have trouble believing that, now, I'm not trying to say you're wrong. I obviously haven't seen Civ 5. I don't have it. But I know in Civ 4, if you attempted such a thing, even on a level like Noble, you'd get your ass kicked.
Yes, you would. You would get absolutely spanked on Civ 4 if you did that. But they changed the production of things. Like, buildings and units are both more expensive than they used to be. They take longer to produce.
Yes, much so.
You have a limited number of swordsmen or horses based on the resources available. Like, you'll get a horse resource and it says 4. So you can build 4 horse bastions from that horse resource, and that's it. So there's some limitations in terms of that.
I think it was either Civ 2 or Civ 3 that had serious resource limitations on things.
I think that was 3.
They would disappear periodically in 3.
Yeah.
But there's other big change in Civ 5 Warfare is that it's not a total one unit wins or loses. That's not how it works.
Right.
You'll do some damage to them, they'll do some damage to you, but it's not going to be a kill shot unless you're much stronger. So you surround the city with like 3 or 4 swords, usually 3 is plenty. Put the great general bonuses on the swords for +25%, and just take turns hitting the city until it falls. And then you heal to take the next city, and you just keep doing that. Heal, take the next city, heal, take the next city. You can either take strong promotions, or you can just stockpile promotions for the instant heal ability. You can choose to use up your promotion experience on an instant heal, too. So if you get caught in a bad situation, you can just heal up right away. And you just march around with your great general and your 4 units mopping everything.
It sounds like you can basically play the StarCraft 1 Zerg Rush strategy.
Yeah, it's worse. It's worse.
And again, I'm going to disagree with that. I have not been able to do that myself.
The other thing is, if you take the honor social policy that gives you a 15% bonus for adjacent units, you're just stupid strong in the field. You know, you walk up your 3 units in the hexes to surround the enemy unit, and you get flanking, which gives them negative penalties, and then you get your bonus from the honor policy that gives you +15%. So now you have +30%, like -30% on them, and you have your 25% for the great general. And all of a sudden, what used to be or would have been a minor or major victory is now just decisive, and you take like 2 damage killing the unit. It just gets stupid, and the AI doesn't know how to handle it.
One of the great new things in Civ 5 is that archers can actually shoot over more than one space. You can actually now bombard things from far away.
But they are screwed at melee. They are useless.
Yes, they are. Which is why it's now a war game, because you actually have to build formations. You actually have to have archers in the back and other things up front.
This goes along with something I heard about the game. A friend of mine, some of you probably know him, Michael Lucas Smith.
Yes.
Yes.
Described the game to me as saying that it played more like a board game now.
Which is accurate.
Yeah, I'd say that's reasonable.
And in my opinion, a good thing.
Yeah, he didn't mean it in a bad way.
Right.
But that was his description to me, which I think maps into what you're saying about it playing like a war game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think there's something fundamentally wrong with the design. Their balance of implementation isn't done yet, and they released it anyway. That's probably my biggest gripe with the game. They have lots of bugs. They're bad enough to the point of being game-breaking, and it's dangerous.
What it sounds like to me is, from your description, just to put it up even maybe at a slightly higher level, Civ 5 is less a next-generation Civ than a completely different game than Civ 4.
Episode 124, Season 5, July 2011.
The whole diplomatic victory condition is just not correct.
Like, you would never see that in multiplayer, ever. No one's gonna... I mean, not unless you have, like, vassaled somebody and you're just winning that way. That's the only way I could picture it happening in multiplayer.
It's more like the bribe everyone victory condition.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys want to let me win? No? No.
Here's a huge stack of cash. Do you want to let me win now?
No.
I could maybe see someone doing it out of spite, too. Like, someone's starting to run away and they're just like, screw you, I'm going to make someone else win.
Yeah.
It's not really a good element to add in gameplay to be possible, but I guess you could see a Diplo win that way.
Yeah. No, there's been some other threads talking about potential changes to the Diplo victory, like how to attain it. But obviously the devs aren't too interested at the moment. They at least made it harder to get to globalization.
Yeah,
that was good.
Great. That was a pain in the ass to have to research all up there. I could have won the game 100 turns earlier except for that.
That's a good thing.
I never thought I'd miss the episode.
That was too easy. you have not abused it to the extent that I have. I'm so sick of that thing. That thing was garbage in a positive way, and that it was way too strong. Build it and you win every time. That's not a fun gameplay element, in my opinion, but some might feel otherwise.
Ooh, speak about build it and you win. The new Hagia Sophia.
Oh, what does it do again?
Gives you +25% for your great person improvement, which was a nerf from before, which was the +33% before. But it now gives you a free great person.
Oh.
Yeah, of your choice.
Yeah, of your choice. Finish Liberty, finish Hagia Sophia, and you now have 2 free wonders. One of them being Notre Dame, and the other one being the Porcelain Tower for a great scientist.
Hello, I win button.
Yeah, it is the I win button, because the AI does not build the Hagia Sophia at all.
I've been B2'd a few times recently.
What, at like turn what?
Crap, I'd have to go back and look at the game. But I have been when I was building it, so.
Okay. It will do it sometimes. It would have had to have been after turn 100 on a standard pace.
Turn 115 still, 180.
Actually, that's a good question. I don't pay attention to the actual AD times.
So I'm trying to get a sense for it. Well, how many turns are in a game of Civ 5? Standard speed?
500?
Or 300? 300 and something.
Yeah, 350. Because
I was having to figure that out the other day for Gandhi.
Okay. So 100 is probably later than turn 115 was in Civ 4. Okay. So yeah, that's reasonably late.
You can generally easily build Hegesphia if you start at around turn 60 or 68, 70. Depending on your production ability. Now, of course, both the Notre Dame and the Porcelain Tower will go before the Hagia Sophia, which is kind of amusing since you can get to the Hagia Sophia earlier, you still get the free Great Person, and then you could just use it on the other one. But the AI thinks that they want to hard build the Notre Dame and the Porcelain Tower instead.
You could get screwed if they got a lucky Great Engineer or something, maybe. That's about it, huh?
Yeah. Well, I've been beat to the Porcelain Tower, even with trying to go for the Hagia Sophia, but that's just because I researched education later than I should have.
Yeah, okay.
Episode 130, Season 5, September 2011.
This is about Firaxis licensing Christopher Tin's music for use in Civilization World. If you've heard the name Christopher Tin before, it's because he was the guy who wrote Baba Yetu for Civilization 4. He's won 2 Grammy Awards, the first Grammy that's been given music that's been for a video game. Yeah, they'll reuse that music in Civilization World. I don't know how much I love that because, well, I don't love Civilization World, but also, when you're playing a game in a browser, do you necessarily want music there all the time? I don't know. Civilization World is also like a noise-intensive game, but nevertheless, it is good music. The album, Calling All Dawns, has mostly music that was in Civilization 4. So they're trying to make this big link here, although I'm not sure if it's necessarily valid because Civ World is a completely different game, but kudos for them for trying to keep a common theme, I guess, within Civilization games, or what they call Civilization games, by at least having the same music.
Yeah, it seems to be that it's not even clear to Christopher how the music from Calling All Dawns will be in the game, because there's a fair bit of music on that album that has not appeared in the Civ title before. What he does know is that it will not be directly downloadable. He doesn't know whether it's going to be in the background or synchronized to certain gameplay events, maybe even it could be both. But he did say that some people asked me what my dream job for scoring a game would be, and in a sense, I already had it. It was Civilization. He also considers it a bit of full circle with Civ World using his album because he very much credits what he did for Civilization IV and Baba Yetu in getting him the Grammy and getting him the recognition that he now has. And not only did he get a Grammy for Baba Yetu, but he also got a Grammy for the album itself. He's kind of like Civilization IV raised my profile, which then thanks to my raised profile, got all of the music from the album into Civ World.
It was also kind of interesting to hear that he was roommates with one of the game's designers back in the day. And he's also a Civilization player.
Yeah, so that just, I mean, that we can relate us plebeians if we were so musically inclined. That's right.
Is that your singing?
Now, there is singing on Christopher's album, of course, but I don't think he actually sings in any of them.
Episode 134, Season 5, October 2011.
This is a thread by Ghost Wolf. It's a thread about how you can build nuclear subs but without having invented regular submarines, or the tech for them. And at the same time with ballistics, you can not invent ballistics, but you can still build nuclear missiles. Yeah, I guess he has a point there. I mean, I guess the Civ 5 development team just ran out of time to test the late game properly. Bunch of discussion, I have to say, too long did not read. But I really don't care that much about this one little link in the tech tree that may or may not be there. But he has a point, I think.
I guess the thing that bothers me about it is that nukes are already really good. So allowing options that make them easier to reach and basically become game vendors, I would prefer that they at least make you need ballistics for launching missiles, for example, and the technology to have submarines and on all for making nuclear subs. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. It can't be that hard to work into the technology tree. And, you know, I don't have a problem with nukes being really good in game, but
Seriously, they shouldn't be something where you just go there right away and the game ends right on nukes every time. I'd like to see something kind of prevent that one way or another.
There is something missing here with nukes, because the developer of nuclear weapons allowed us to do nuclear bombs, which had to be delivered by plane, and planes could be shot down much more easily than missiles, or at least until modern warfare. But getting all the way up to ICBMs took a long time. It's almost like it would be a national wonder to develop your rocketry program to a point where it can deploy nuclear weapons, as opposed to, oh, you have access to uranium and you've unlocked nuclear weapons, therefore you have ICBMs.
A long time is relative, of course. I mean, it took us way longer to invent chariots, for example, so it just depends on what scale you want to look at it.
Well, time is well compressed in a light game anyway, so yeah.
That is true.
Yes.
And, you know, you need this whole idea of using ICBMs from nuclear submarines. It requires GPS. It requires NavSat. Otherwise, you have to give away your position to the enemy to radio home, get your position, get your firing solution, and then fire in the nuke. So there's definitely a lot of late game stuff missing. And this was the same in Civ 4 and Civ 3 and Civ 2. All late game techs were really, I guess I'd just say weak, you know, because it seemed like you reached the jeopardy point where technology is so powerful you should be able to overrun anybody. But I never liked that. But that was actually a design decision based in my own original games, that if you got that far, you should be able to win.
Recording dated October 22nd, 24th, and 25th, 2011.
You have reached the voicemail of Polycast, Bondcast, Revcast, and Turncast, the Polycast family of entertaining and informing civilization podcasts at thepolycast.net. If you leave your name, username, and message, your call may be used on an upcoming show, and you may even hear back from us directly. Keep on, Seven.
Hello, this is Jennifer calling from... This message is from Mrs. In reference to the vehicle you have rented on 17th of September, according to our tickets, this car was due for return on 17th of October. I'm unable to extend your contract. Please return to the closest location to extend your contract. If you have any questions, please contact me at 8. My extension is. When calling, please use the rental agreement number, which is. Thank you for choosing. Have a nice day.
Hello, my name is Calvin. I'm calling in from this message. There's a reference to a car he rented to return on the 17th of October. He was contracted duty for a maximum of 30 days, but it's surpassed at this point. Can you please return to the closest location to sign a new rental agreement? If you have any questions, please call me at extension. When calling, please use the rental agreement number that is. Thank you, Jesus. Have a nice day.
Hi, this is Bianca from. This message is in regards to the car rented from on 17th September due back on 17th October. Your rental is overdue. I request you to please go into the nearest location and extend the rental. Any further queries, call me at extension. And when calling, please use the references. Thank you for choosing. Have a great day.
Your call is being answered by Audix. Is not available. To leave a message, wait for the tone. When finished recording, press pound for more options. Record at the tone.
Yes, good evening. I'm calling with regards to rental agreement number. There have been 3 voicemails, one from someone at extension, which redirects to one from, and also one from extension. Again, with regards to this rental agreement, trying to catch the name, either a or a. With regards to a rental agreement that 2 of the messages say start on September 17th and end on October 17th, whereas the first one talked about September 13th and October 13th. This is not the phone number for that individual. This is rather a phone number for Polycast, Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast, which is a family of Civilization Computer Gaming Series podcasts at thepolycast.net. I'm not certain where this telephone number was obtained, whether it was from Mr. or Mrs. If it was misquoted or recorded incorrectly, but this is not the number for them. I tried phoning back a couple of times, wasn't receiving an answer at any of the extensions, trying to get a hold of the agent that was calling directly, but since we seem to be missing over a number of days here, I decided that I would just leave this message and to please not call this number again, again with regards to rental agreement. I did a search for you, a courtesy search on whitepages.com, looking for a and found one at in Massachusetts at the phone number. I don't know if this is the person that you are looking for. Again, if I heard the name properly, but that is a potential start. And again, this is not the number for that individual. Thank you very much for your time. Hope you're able to get a hold of a Mr. and get your rental car back. But I am not the holder of this agreement, and in fact, I have not done business with your company in the past. The only other thing that I would say is it would be helpful to, when pressing zero, when calling your number back, to be able to be sent to the next available agent directly. I tried that and was told that it was an invalid extension. Thanks again for your time. Bye.
You should probably change that shirt.
Why? It's an audio podcast. No one can see my shirt.
I think it's stupid.
I think you're an asshole.
If you've listened to every Polycast episode recording streamed live since the show switched to a live format in January 2011, you may be surprised to learn that you haven't in fact heard its every recorded stream. But you can get yourself up to date as of now. The following is from August 23rd, 2012. Hello. Okay, can you hear me? Because I cannot hear you. This could be a problem. Let me know in the chat if you can hear me. Yes, you can hear me. Okay, well, that's the first issue. Let me think here. Even though the listener no technical difficulties. Okay, say something, Adam.
Something, Adam.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. All right, now I'm hearing you through my speakers. Are you getting an echo on yourself when you speak?
No.
No, you are not.
I am not.
Ooh, shiny. Okay.
I've had a bit of a cold, so forgive me if it's a bit, what's his name? It's not too bad, but yeah.
Okay, so now tell me if you can hear the following, which is the Polycast theme, and let me know if it's echoing.
Nothing, Dan. Don't hear anything yet.
Oh, you don't hear anything yet. Well, that's, you know what, that's really minor, actually, if that doesn't work. Actually, I don't really particularly care about that right now. So, do I sound, well, you know what I sound like
yes,
when
I
we
do.
Record? I don't sound like that right now, do I, like we sound when I broadcast live?
You sound like you usually do when we're playing games online.
Oh, that's what I want to hear. Okay.
Yeah.
So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to start the broadcast, and I've asked Mega Bears Fan. He's in the live stream page right now. I want to make certain that as a listener, he can hear both of us.
Right.
Because that would be key. Okay. I'll let him know going live in a minute or less, and I'll, of course, let you know when we do that. And this will also test, by the way, my ability to record the live stream.
Yay.
And hear everybody. I'm hoping this works.
Okay.
All right, so next time you hear it go, it will be live.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Go now?
Yes, go now. Hello.
Hello.
If you happen to be watching this stream right now, you're probably Mega Bears Fan because you're the only person I invited. Let us know, Mega Bears Fan, if you can hear me. And I'm also joined by Peach Rocks.
Yay.
All right, so, Jason, we want to know if you can hear both myself and Adam when we speak respectively. The theme song isn't working, but I'm really not caring about that right now.
Yay.
So, yes, let us know. So, Adam, say a few more things.
A few more things.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly what I asked.
I'm doing that lately. Don't ask.
Okay, I strangely will not ask. Oh, and we're getting a reply. This is going to be awesome. You hear stuff, no video, though. That's okay, there is no video. But you can hear both Adam and I, yes?
Yay.
So that's exactly what I want.
I have no idea you're listening to me.
Now, Jason, have you listened to a Polycast recently post-produced, even one you were on, or maybe not even one you were on, and you hear how I sound? Because up until this point, I've got it so that my headset is not on my head. I've got it up against one of my speakers so it can pick everyone up through Skype, and then I sound like I'm at a distance. And actually, it's strangely enough, there was just feedback today on episode 154 that says, Dan needs to get a better quality mic. Everyone else sounds like FM quality, and it sounds like, Dan, you're talking through a sock, which I thought was pretty funny. So how do I sound as compared to Adam there? Jason, does it actually sound like the headset is around my head as opposed to being in another room? That's what I always felt like, I was in another room. You're actually a bit louder than he is. Well, I'm generally louder than most people.
Yes, he is. Also, I've not got a sore throat at the moment. So, yeah, I'm not talking at my normal levels. So if Dan's louder than me, that's good.
Actually, it also stands to reason that my microphone volume input is actually higher than the input for you. Ooh. So I'm going to increase your volume to about my level there, Adam, and I'll save that set. I know. Okay. All right. Adam also has a very minor echo and a buzz.
Might be me, but I don't know.
Yeah. So how is his volume compared to mine now, Jason, out of curiosity? I increased Adam's input through my Skype to match mine. And, of course, it also depends on his microphone and his own audio volume input and whether or not he's speaking normally or yelling or whispering. Hopefully it's a little more comparable now. That was a very simple change, actually, on my part. Oh, okay. You have to speak again there, Adam.
I have to speak again? Oh, yay. Is that enough? Can I still speak? Really? Still speaking? God, I'm terrible at this.
He says it's better. Okay.
Better?
That's good. Is the volume difference distracting? I assume it's better, so I assume. Still an echo and buzz, though. Okay, that may be him.
That might be me, yeah. I have no idea.
No volume is okay.
Yeah. Mute me and find out, like.
Or can you mute yourself?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a good idea.
Okay. Adam has now muted himself. It's an interesting question. Were you hearing the echo and buzz only when Adam was speaking, Jason? Or was it always constant and now it's gone? Okay, you think so. All right, so it was just when you were speaking. Okay, so it doesn't sound like it's anything in the background.
Okey-dokey.
Just when you're speaking, and you're back again. Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, thank you both very much. Hopefully now going to address the issues of my sounding so distant. I wish I had done this a while ago.
Dan playing with his puppets.
But I guess it's better late than nether. Ooh, the nether. I'm talking about another game now. Uh-oh, my bad. Thank you, Jason, and thank you, Adam, as well.
No problems.
Polycast hasn't been banned from YouTube yet, so maybe there's hope for everybody. I don't know. Oh, wait, was that a self-burn? Did I do that? Why am I making all these jokes now? This isn't even a proper episode. Why am I wasting all my good material? I've only got so little. I mean, so much. Wow. What? Maybe at some point in the future, the very distant future, I'll be like, listen to this.
Oh,
and
God.
People listen to technical support.
Calling today. In North America, the number is 301-637-7659.
That's 301-637-POLY.
In Europe, 44-121-288-7659. That's 44-121-288-POLY.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
For more information on Polycast,
our sibling shows Modcast, Revcast, and Turncast,
or about Polycast in general,
log on to the series' official website at thepolycast.net.
People tried to visit the site and they couldn't, and that was our way of saying, go be with your family.
Christmas isn't about family, it's about presents.
From family.
Santa.
I've never played a Railroads title before. I'll admit it here.
Shame on
okay,
you.
I'll admit it. But
hang on.
Before you pass judgment and throw some stones that you might have been hiding under or somebody might have been hiding under, I've been a long-time fan of Chris Sawyer's Transport Tycoon and Transport Tycoon Deluxe.
You should have played Railroad Tycoon.
Yes, exactly.
There's really
shame
a remake.
On you.
Did you ever play Transport Tycoon?
I think I looked at it, but I was like, this is too many stuff. I just want Railroads.
And see, I want more than just Railroads. I am not satisfied with just Railroads. I must be the tycoon of all transportation.
I played another game that was on, I think it was either Genesis or Super Nintendo. It might have been both, but it was running an airline. I'm like, no, that was too much of a... Why do people run airlines? It's too much of a pain. It's a little too realistic, maybe. I like Railroads.
I played an airport game. It was the same kind of thing. Why on earth would you want to do that?
Those of you in the audience who might not have played Railroad Tycoon, you might want to.
Shame on you.
Will you be my vassal? Okay, I don't know where that came from. I went back in time or something.
Back to when he used to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yes, that's right.
I have to say, I don't even have the game yet, so...
Shame on you!
Blasphemer!
I thought we got a free copy of the game for doing Polycast, Dan.
My favorite Daydreams comic was the one where it just shows a piece of paper that a kid got an F on.
Yeah.
It's a schoolwork. You read the paper, and it talks about the American history, but it says a Civ game. So America was at war with China, but 2,000 years later, they stopped having war. And I was just cracking up. I was cracking up.
They invaded to stop the production of the spacecraft to Alpha Centauri in 1836.
Yeah, Civ is a real school learning tool.
I've heard that copies of Alpha Centauri and Alien Crossfire are considered collector's items, especially the like original ones. Have you seen some of the eBay auctions?
No.
That's absolutely insane. People are spending $150, $200.
Wow.
Really? Like on brand new ones or?
Brand new ones and even ones that had been opened and played but had like the original documentation and.
Too bad I don't have an extra chain.
Holy crap, you don't need it.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I don't really think there's any difference between the PC and the Mac version, except that the Mac version runs on a Mac and the PC version runs on a PC, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I'm not really sure there's much to say about that.
I think, as usual, there will be problems with Mac users and PC users playing in the same MP game. There's usually those kinds of problems. Sure, we'll see a bit of complaining about that in the forum.
And I'm not sure how well the mods adapt to the Mac either.
From what I've heard, it actually works fairly well most of the time. There are some issues, but at least simple mods should work mostly.
Oh!
But don't take my word for it. But the few reports I've read, it works kind of okay at least.
Ooh, colon, as in thumbs up. The combination. Combination on the forums. I should have saying things like this.
Thumbs up.
I'm trying to be a nerd here. Help me out here.
You don't need any help there.
I was going to say.
Oh. Well, if you're saying I'm a bigger nerd than you, Wouter, I think that's a compliment, so I'll take it.
Okay.
All right.
Wants me to clarify that he bought me the DS. I didn't.
Oh, please.
You got it? Like, what? Did you want it? It's pink. No, but he bought it for me, is what he's trying to say.
Emily, you need to turn around and be like, who's the boss here? I'm the boss.
Alexander, it reminded me of the words that I am the boss. I am the boss.
I said, I don't think that was ever in question.
Now we've got it on record, and we're good.
Exactly.
I'm just really a lunatic.
Maybe your history teacher wasn't so wrong after all.
Yeah. But he gave me an A, so, you know, there you go.
Kelly sends me a message after the show. Never win fight better yeah. To guest co-host on this show. I quit.
I'm doing a lot for the blooper reel.
We are a group of volunteers who are doing this for some reason. Don't ask us why, because then we start thinking about it. And then we think,
wait, what are we doing?
Don't ask, don't tell, okay? But, who am I getting feedback on here? Yeah, someone has the, someone has the webpage on, the Ustream channel, so I'm hearing myself.
Yeah, that's happening on my end, too.
Okay. Did that fix it? I think it was actually me. My bad. Hey, hey. All right.
Smooth going there, Dan.
It's kind of, your nation's thriving.
Oh, your nation, not, okay, I thought you said something else.
Huh? The Civ.
No, I thought you said and not your name. Never mind.
Oh.
Yeah, please cut that out. N-A. Wait. I don't know my alphabet.
Well, you better start researching that then if you want to be able to.
It's a very early tech.
Not to my face.
You bastard.
Which actually isn't a problem since we never talk in person. Darn.
Not to my face.
So much for that.
About not to your virtual face.
Don't say that. You're giving them ideas.
No.
Not unless you mod the key. But then that could be.
Could do anything. That's ready argument on the show, I guess.
I said 200 strength.
Just start trolling threads. But you can't do that. Not unless you mod it. Not unless you mod it. Not unless you mod it.
You can't do anything unless you mod it.
Oh, I think I need a disclaimer here. Polycast does not endorse what I just said. That was just my own silly rant.
Doesn't receive defensive bonuses. Can
defensive bonus.
Defensive.
Man, you know, the one thing we didn't do on this show, there was no singing, and we had both Lisa and Mackie away. That's really disappointing.
Well, doesn't where count as singing?
That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it falls short.
For some people, that is love.
Yeah.
I'll do anything for love. Anything!
What is love? Baby, don't hurt.
I have a question for Pete.
Okay.
Can we talk about the yet? No.
Loosely.
All right.
Well, let's talk about it. The two of us who've had an opinion on who played Civ 5 so far and have an opinion on it. Let's
talk
about that.
You don't have to play Civ 5 to have an opinion on it.
You just can't get too attached to your units.
Yeah, don't you notice that in Civilization 5? You get more attached to your individual units than you do in Civilization 4. You have, you know, affectionate names for them. And when they die, you shed a tear. Where in Civilization 4, it's just like,
meh. I'll miss you, stack of damn 5,452. What you doing in there? I said, what you doing in there? Oh, okay. I couldn't tell what it was with the headphones on. It's okay. I have a mute button.
We are compelled to bleep any and all offensive language or language that would potentially be offensive. Is why you don't hear me on the show, generally.
This was... God, what's the show's name again?
And I am joined by Maclua.
Oh, crap.
Oh, crap, I'm with Dan again.
Oh crap, I have a spoonful of cereal in my mouth.
Yeah, I had dropped there.
Yeah, I guess you did.
What the hell was I saying? I forget already now.
I can't not like the giant death robots.
Have you met my friend Stompy?
Oh my god!
What do we want to talk about next when it comes to Civ 5?
Exploits!
Is an interesting idea, and I think it can play into strategy and not... Did I say strategy? Play into strategy and not be too tactical.
Strategy. Yeah.
Oh, dear. And you believe that you're trustworthy, and I know most of you are. because anybody who listens to this podcast is obviously trusting. You have good taste anyway.
Shall we discuss something else?
Once again, we killed the topic dead. We conquered it and raised it.
Then we send in our workers, namely Dan and his editing prowess, to help fix it up. It's a metaphor for a podcast. We go in, we make a mess out of things, and then Dan cleans it up. See, Dan, don't say I never said anything nice about you.
So there must be a lot of post-production that goes into this, because I don't
know. How did you guess?
You don't know a quarter of it.
I'm real curious how this is going to be edited, how this is going to sound.
I'm not.
The entire episode will be about 3 minutes, and then there will be 40 minutes of bloopers.
And the other 2 hours will just be cut.
I know that this was different, and so...
Were we too rambly for you there?
No. It's okay. I mean, I'll structure some things.
Yeah, I know you like your lists and your structured topics, but I like to be more organic.
I'll show you. No.
I think a little editing magic can't fix.
Record dates are sorted 2006 to 2012. Web Zero's Clips, copyright Smooth Few Films. Let's Get It Started by Black Eyed Peas, Clips, copyright A&M. What Is Love by Hathaway, Clips, copyright Coconut. Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips, copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.
So how much actual show do we do here?